Before we jump into your journey, how would you describe survival mode?
Well, survival mode for me was second nature. So a large majority of my life was spent in survival mode. I'm just now in my 40s. I'm 43 now. And the last 2 years I've been in therapy. So I'm learning how to not function in survival mode. So what the others may have appeared to be as successful accolades or accomplishments, to me, that was survival mode. To me, that was doing what was necessary for me to survive. So to me, what looks like survival mode to other people may not look the same. And I think that's something that needs to be clear. Survival mode looks different for everybody. And for me, it was just making sure that I never ended up in a impoverished situation similar to that of which I grew up in.
And I agree. Survival mode does look differently to everyone, but it often has similar like foundation, right? And so that's one of the reasons why I start the episode with that question, because I just want to explore what it looked like for you. Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Letitia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. This is your trigger warning. This podcast is raw. It is real, and it doesn't sugarcoat what it means to survive trauma, abuse, mental health battles, or even the aftermath of living in survival mode for too damn long. What you hear on Survival Mode Disrupted includes unfiltered stories, graphic details, and a vulnerable truth that may trigger some of the audience. Please prioritize your emotional safety. If something feels too heavy, pause. Breathe. Come back when you're ready or not at all. Your healing is yours to honor. These episodes are based on lived experience, not therapy sessions or clinical advice. Listening does not replace mental health treatment or constitute a coach-client relationship. If you're in crisis, please seek immediate help from a licensed professional or contact your local emergency services. This space is built with care, but it's also built for truth and built for disruption. Take what you need, leave the rest, and most of all, trust yourself. If this podcast speaks to your soul, you don't have to do this work alone. Feel free to join our free Facebook community for high achieving women ready to break cycles and heal out loud. Join us at Disrupting Survival Mode on Facebook. Or grab the book that started this movement, Exiting Survival Mode, a raw step-by-step guide to help you identify, release, and rebuild from the survival patterns that have been keeping you stuck. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I am your host, Letitia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and today we have Christelle with us. So, Christelle, why don't you introduce yourself?
I am a jack of many trades. I am a mother. I am an activist. I am an entertainer. I am an author. But above all, I am a survivor. And I know that I was chosen to walk in purpose. And my name is Christelle.
Yes, sis, yes. I'm really excited to have this conversation with you today. Oh, to the juicy bit. Tell us your story to and through survival mode.
I think one of the most resilient stories I can say about myself was I started my company while I was a fugitive on the run. very young, I became a street pharmaceutical representative. That was a lifestyle that I feel like I had to choose in order for me to sustain myself. And that continued throughout most of my adulthood. And back in 2011 is when I became wanted as a fugitive facing a life sentence. So that was something that I just couldn't accept because I knew I was not guilty of what I was accused of. And moreover, I had promised my children the last time that I was in prison that they would never see me in that situation again, and I wanted to keep that promise to them. So I did whatever was necessary to make sure that whenever I got back in front of any judge's face, that they saw what powerful things I was doing within the community, the change in me, the resilience, and saw a different version of me than what was displayed on those charges and those criminal allegations.
So, what were the charges?
I like to call it an aggressive refund. I was actually wanted in three counties. So I was wanted in one for fleeing and eluding law enforcement, in one county for strong arm robbery with an assault and deadly weapon, and another county for failure to obey an injunction, a civil injunction.
Okay. And how long were you on the run?
I was on the run for 10 years in total.
Okay.
10 years. 10 years. I j just about hit my 11-year mark when the U.S. Marshal came and accosted me.
And what was that journey like once you were accosted?
I think it was a revelation for me more than anything, because in that moment, I had spent a lot of time in and out. You know what I'm saying? It's not something that I'm proud of, but I had been arrested multiple times. And I had already been so far removed from that lifestyle that when I walked back into it, I realized how far removed I was. So it was more or less like an aha moment for me. It gave me a moment to sit with myself and make actual life-changing decisions and look at myself in the mirror, because I think a lot of times we blame outside resources or outside influences for our actions. And that's what I did. That is, I blamed the unlove from my parents. I blamed the misguidance when I was a juvenile, the forcing things. A lot of these stuff you'll see on the Trap Queens, BET Trap Queens is presented there. But just to be frank with you, I blamed a lot of outside things instead of looking inwardly and realizing that the peace and the happiness that I was looking for was within me the entire time. And I just chose to look outside myself to find it.
I whenever I tell my story, I always talk about that moment where I was in jail and my mom came to visit me and she asked me a single question. She asked me, "Why do you love everyone else more than you love yourself?" And when she said it, I to this day still describe it as a Mike Tyson body blow. She winded me with that question because I was now having to face the truth. Right. I had made a lot of decisions from my teenage years into my 30s that were bad decisions. Right. And I knew them. I knew it. But I was doing the best that I could to navigate the circumstances that I was in at the time. And I didn't have a great relationship with either one of my parents during that time. And I had to kind of figure out life from about 16 by myself. And in doing so, I made decisions based on the information that I had at the time. But like you, I spent a lot of time blaming people for where I ended up. And being faced with that question, having to go back into my cell and ruminate on that question, it was the first time that I think I had taken complete ownership of my own shit. For a lot of time, I would say, "Oh, well, I'm in this situation because, when I was 14, I went through this. When I was 7, I went through this. My parents, blah, blah, blah." But it was this reconciliation that if something doesn't change in my everyday life, then jail would probably be my end point. And as a result of being able to take ownership of my life, I was able to change it. So I can reconcile with what you said there. But I guess I'm curious if you've been arrested now after being wanted for, I think you said, nearly 11 years. Did you serve time? And then what did life look like to rebuild from that point?
I ended up actually only having to do 4 months. God was with me the whole way through. I had the unshakable faith. I knew what God said to me. So all the way through my court hearings, anytime my lawyer came to see me, even when he was doubtful, I told him, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be free. And on my birthday, for my 41st birthday, all the charges were dropped. Everything was dismissed. I was walked away a free woman. That was a moment that I can never do over because it redeemed me in that moment. But the rebuild after that was quite hard because you have to keep in mind, I spent over 30 years of my life. At that time, I was 41, and I had spent 40 years of my life never saying my name, not knowing who I was. You know what I'm saying? Because I spent so much time in a dual life, like one version of myself for a group of people and a different version of myself for others. So I had to contend with that, had to look at myself in the mirror and really be able to say, I'm no longer a fugitive, because the life that you lead when you're on the run is totally different than the life that you lead when you're free. And as an adult, since I was 18, I had always been either a fugitive or on probation. And all throughout that time, I was a street pharmacist. So using my first name was something that was very null and limited. So me being able to just approach the world was still a scary thing when I first received the exoneration for the everything. And then right after that, I was diagnosed with a chronic illness. I have IIH, which is a brain condition. March 30th of 2020. I woke up blind. No, 24, I woke up blind. So that has been a real huge issue because I was literally just a couple of 14 months outside of being free, and body just shut down. So I've been in and out of the hospital. I had to have a brain surgery in July, just this past July, to have a shunt placed. And I realized through therapy, I learned that your body will, when you're running in high octane survival mode, that your body will keep itself moving so that you can function. But the moment that my body knew that I was safe and knew that I was free, my body gave itself permission to allow everything to come to the surface. And that's when the diagnosis came forward. And it revealed so much to me. It revealed who was really my friend, who's been around me just for the clout, or who's been around me because they actually care. I lost a lot of clients. I lost a lot of friends. I lost a lot of people I thought was family. Going th over this, but I'm just so grateful that it happened because it gave me opportunity to open my eyes. Because I know that if I'd still been walking in the pace that I was walking in, I wouldn't have sat still long enough to pay attention to what was going on, to even see things play out the way that they did. And I'm just grateful because now God has opened so many other doors for me. He gave me a huger purpose for a better walk. Now I'm partnering with a nonprofit agency. Everything's launching this year, working expeditiously. We're going to be housing reentry and helping transitioning individuals such as myself or veterans, people who are stuck in between the gaps. And this is something that I don't think I ever would have even felt comfortable doing because all my mission was before this to help former inmates, not knowing that there was a huge population. Even myself, because I'm so far removed from being an inmate. I haven't been in jail. I don't know what the process of prison is anymore because it's been so long for me. But I realize I relate more to entrepreneurs. I relate more to people that are in my situation who fell into a hard time and there was no resources available to me because I'm not an addict or don't have any kids in tow. So all I say all that to say that everything that happened to lead me right to where I am right now. And it definitely was not an easy walk, but it was all worth it because I know the purpose that God has chosen for me.
I want to go back to the first thing you said about your health, right? And I've heard this and I've experienced it myself. When we are in survival mode, we are in constant fight, flight, fawn, or freeze. And as a result of that, we can't focus on anything else but literally staying alive or staying safe in some instances, right? And safety for our subconscious brain does not necessarily look like safety, like what we read about in books or what we see in movies, right?
Absolutely.
And when we get to that place of safety, which often takes us decades to get there, our body's just like, okay, okay, now I don't have to do all of this extra stuff. And oftentimes that is when we start experiencing health issues, we start experiencing all of this other stuff because, yes, we're now safe and now our body can stop using all of its energy to keep us safe. And now we need to start addressing things that seem to pop up out of nowhere. I know I had a period where I couldn't get out of bed for months, and I wouldn't describe myself as being sh depressed. I knew I wasn't depressed. But I had hit a wall in my ability to process outside stimuli because I had spent so much time expending my energy and getting safe. And once I finally got to a space where I was quote unquote safe, my body literally just shut down. It was tired. Right. We put ourselves through so much on the exterior, and we often don't recognize the toll it takes on our interior. And we don't see it until we stop fighting or fleeing or fawning or freezing. But the other thing that you
That's so
mentioned,
true.
the other thing you mentioned was getting to that place where you recognize that your story had more purpose than just keeping you through this, the ebbs and flows of life. And I think it's always a beautiful testament to someone's healing when they get to a place of wanting to help others. I think it's a huge part of our healing journey, but not all of us get there. So I commend you for the work that you're doing. And I think it's beautiful that you've been able to turn the page in a way that celebrates the things that you've survived and also celebrates the fact that healing is possible. So I would love to explore some of the things that you've worked on in therapy, if you don't mind, because I think it's key to understand going from the life that you lived for a very long time to now champion your own healing and champion your journey out of that lifestyle. I'm just curious of what are some of the things that you've had to overcome in order to do so.
I think one of my biggest things to overcome was learning how to express emotions verbally. A lot of times I didn't have the opportunity to do that as a child. And then when I came into adulthood, where I thought I was going to be able to express my emotions, I was not able to do so because I was in a male-dominated field where weakness was considered an emotion. Emotion was considered a weakness. So I had to always keep a stoic attitude. I had to always keep a very aggressive or abrasive tone. So it didn't allow for me to do much of anything but seek aggressive revenge. So now I have to remember that sometimes my appearance, my gold teeth, my tattoos, my locks, to some people may consider that to be unapproachable or may be intimidated by it. So I have to think about their perspective before I react. A lot of times, a person's ignorance will come through verbally, and I will just charge at them. That's the way that I was before. But now, through therapy, I've learned to just take a beat, think about it, and realize that from their perspective, I may be intimidating. But when I respond with such a calm, cool, even temper, with a soft tone, I get a lot more done than I would get done when I was being aggressive or matching their energy or even their thought of giving them an opportunity to perpetuate that narrative. And that's one of the biggest things that I'm thankful for, is because I just don't react anymore. I just don't do things out of revenge.
That's a big thing. I've also had to, I mean, I wasn't very reactive. However, my mouth is a lethal weapon. You come at me sideways, as quiet as I can present myself, unless you really know me, you better be ready for what's coming, because I slaughter. My tongue is deadly. And I don't say that in a way that to like celebrate it. I'm just like, I had to become like that. I had to learn how to self-advocate. And my self-advocacy came as a result of not being able to process my emotions, right? I couldn't process sadness and hurt because, similar to what you said, I felt like those were signs of weaknesses. So the number one emotion that I was very comfortable expressing was anger. And I used to describe myself as a volcano. And I would erupt. Sometimes I'll give you a warning. Sometimes I smoke first, right? Or spit a little lava so you can back up. But most times it was an eruption that came from the pit of hell. And oftentimes it didn't match. It didn't match the scenario, but that's all I had until I learned how to process my emotions in a healthy way. But particularly, I think certain cultures, right? And I don't want to just put it on black women, but certain cultures, we don't really get to express ourselves in very healthy ways, right? Like
I agree.
I was raised in environment where I learned from very early on that you don't express weakness. You don't let your wig slip, quote unquote, right? You don't let people see that you may be upset because people will take advantage of you. So a lot of my human experience was packed away because of the conditioning that I had from a very young age. Like I was raised with mostly women, right? My mom is one of five, I mean, one of seven, and there were five very strong women involved, including my granny. And on the outside, most people thought, well, these women were just like stellar. But what I learned from that was, I can't be truthful about how I feel. So I put on this exterior that most people don't really accept anyway, right? So I was immediately labeled, before I was even a woman, as an angry black woman, because that was how I was pretty much raised. Like, don't let your weak sleep don't slip, and don't show any weakness. So growing into adulthood and being able to get to a place where I could be soft without chastising myself in that was a journey.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I agree. And I think it's still something every day. I still have to sometimes tell myself, calm down. There's no, don't do that. Just relax. And what's crazy is I took my very first vacation in my entire life as an adult, right before the end of the year. My godmother took me on vacation. And I from that vacation, I just learned the need for the downtime, the need for you to be able to show that softer side. You have to do that. You have to let your body relax. And if you don't do that, you're going to miss out on life. Because a lot of times you look up and be like, daggone it, 5 months is already gone. When in actuality, that's because you kept your head down in survival mode the whole time and you didn't take a moment to just enjoy life and enjoy some blessings and the fruits of your labor. And we got to stop doing that. I think as a culture, as a people, we have to stop doing that. We have to stop focusing so much on advancement and sometimes on cherishing the moments and being present.
I think part of that is our inability to accept that life operates as a duality, right? We often skip one element of a duality, right? Like, for instance, with anger, there is happiness. With sadness, there's joy. With darkness, there's light. With rich, there's poor. And oftentimes we want to hold on to one side of that duality so much that there isn't a reconciliation that other part has to exist, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, for instance, with Black women in particular, I think systemically, we have been placed in situations that required us to step into our masculine energy and stay there.
Yeah,
So
absolutely.
we really do not know how to be soft. And I remember even growing up, the picture of a grandmother, I always say this, the picture of a grandmother was this soft. And I went to private schools with a lot of white children. So when they used to talk about their grannies, they used to talk about these women that were kind and loving and soft. And I had this stoic yet abrasive grandmother, right? I never saw a smile until I was like 18 or 19. I never really heard her laugh until I was much older. The way that she handled me as a child was, I am going to raise you, and that's all you got to see. I didn't get to see softness. And I
Yeah.
remember one day asking her, like, why aren't you like the grannies in the movies? Because, like, she was like, because they haven't had to live the life that Adam had to live. And I think a lot of times, us as Black women in particular, we are definitely conditioned to be harder on the outside than often really exists.
Yeah.
And then we end up stepping into this role of hardness and meanness. I mean, in your circumstance, it was necessary. Otherwise, you would have been picked off quite quickly. But
Yeah.
it becomes part of our personalities, that conditioning. And we don't recognize oftentimes that that ends up being the, I don't know the word that I'm looking for, but the block to the life that we want to live, because we don't know how to step into our feminine. We don't know how to be soft. And it's not a bad thing because we've done what we've had to do in order to survive.
Yeah.
But a lot of times we resist it in the healing process, right? Like, I remember someone saying, you got to soften up a bit. I'm soften up. Like, for what? Like, why? And it
It's
took
like
me a while.
it's okay. My therapist says the same thing. When she first met me, she's like, it's okay. You don't have to be tough with me. So it took a minute. Let her see me cry or
Cry. No, if you see me cry, you better run. Like, that's what. If you can get tears out of me, you have unleashed a beast. And but so now, when I'm able to express myself without all of that residual anger, like, I feel like I've arrived, because it's taken me decades to get to that place of being able to accept that duality that comes in life. But on top of that, whenever I talk about accident survival mode, I say it happens in three phases, right? The first phase is self-awareness, because we can change what we can't see. The second is a reprogramming, and that speaks to what we were just talking about, the conditioning that we're often raised with, the identities that we've had to pick up as a result of being in survival, being able to challenge our narratives, challenge our beliefs, challenge our conditioning so that we see something different. And then the third is a reinvention, being able to lay down our survival identities, lay down that hardness, right?
Yeah.
And choose identity that works better for us. And for some of us, it's not about laying down all of the hardness because I feel like it serves a purpose in some aspect. But being able to champion our healing in a way that we stay aligned with what will serve us as opposed to what will then keep us in survival mode.
I agree. I agree. I agree. Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's been exonerated, and you said you're working with a nonprofit, but what else are you doing now that you can be Crystal and you're not
Well,
running? You know what I mean?
yeah, and that's the thing is I'm able to be more present on social media. I'm allowed to be like open. I've done a couple of commercials and just being out there. Trap Queens was like my hello, to the world. And I think it's like I saw a quote that said people don't realize how many people you save by keeping your mouth quiet. And I think that's how I felt is I've allowed a lot of people to get away with a lot of things. And I've always been the person in the family that she'll get over it, no problem. And I've not spoken on my side. A lot of times people have just been able to speak for me. And that was my moment that I got to speak for myself. It was life-changing. I don't want to cry today. But it was life-changing for me because because when I saw it on camera, like on my TV screen and got a chance to look at myself, I got a chance to look at myself because I've always looked at myself in a with an eye of resentment, not feeling like I feel like I let myself down. And I didn't realize how much I had overcome. I didn't realize how far I had come. You understand where I'm coming from? And when you actually sit and listen to it play back, that's when it was, to me, it was clear. It was like, okay, how many times was I saved? It wasn't for no reason. There was a purpose. There was a reason that I kept getting saved. There was a reason why in moments, because people can't say that being a fugitive for over 10 years is not easy. I got pulled over. Police have knocked on my door. There's been many occasions that I could have easily went down the hard road, and God didn't let it happen. So that just let me know that He has such a huge purpose and such a huge calling over my life that my goal now is just to make sure that I say it from the rooftops because I want people to know that there is a other side after this, that you can rewrite your story. You don't have to live in your past. You don't have to live. It's okay to be hurt. It's okay to be angry about it. It's okay to go through all of those things, but it's not okay to sit there. You have to put in the work. And once you put in the work, and once you look at yourself in the mirror and realize you deserve this, and hopefully I can prevent other people from even going down the wrong track. Because I think if somebody would have stepped in before and offered me other alternatives, it probably would not have gone as far as it went with me. And if somebody would have shown me, somebody would have cared when I was coming up, the trajectory of my life would have totally changed. So I just want to make sure I can save as many people as I can because that life is not the right life to go, especially in today's economy. In today's the way that things are now is totally different. There's no loyalty, there is no structure, it's too many opportunities for a person to give their whole entire freedom away for 15 seconds. It only takes 15 seconds to make a decision that could change your life forever. And I just hope people take the moment and look at my story and say, you know what? If she did it, I can too, because I am not built with anything different than anybody else. The only thing difference in me is I had unwavering faith. People call me delusional all the time because I am. I'm delusional about what I know God has for me.
I'm laughing because let me tell you, I call myself Delulu all the time. I remember openly expressing to somebody what I saw for myself. And the girl said, "You are delusional with a capital D." I said, "Girl, you get it. Yes, I am." But let me tell you, mark this day. because I'm telling you, you will remember it when I reach that goal. You will remember this conversation because I have so much faith in who I lay my trust in, and that is God, right? Like, I didn't journey through the fire to be mediocre. And
Hello.
I didn't say, I'm not saying that to be nasty. I didn't go through what I went through to just be ordinary, right?
Yeah, and that's why, I stopped posting because I used to, before when I started posting, I would say, well, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want anybody to get upset when I say this, but screw it. You know what I'm saying? I'm no longer going to dim my light to make sure that somebody else's ego is saved. I'm no longer going to play it small. I'm going to continue to let my light shine as bright as I can. If you don't like me posting every day about how God has saved me, about how God has turned my life around, about how I was on the run for 10 plus years and was able to start a self-sustaining brand, was able to become the first brand to be sold on Walmart.com as a handcrafted brand. One of the people who helped build the Black Pro platform for Amazon, all of the doors that I've opened for other people, I did that. And
On
not
the
be
run.
not you know I did that. God chose me to bring that blessing through, and I'm gonna be proud of that. I'm gonna be proud of my works because everything is what led me to this moment right here. I didn't have to look for anybody to say that you did a good job. That's not what I did it for. I did it because this is what I was called to do.
I remember someone saying to me that my story today becomes a master class for someone else tomorrow. And what I'm hearing you say is just that I recognize that I can show someone something different, and I'm stepping into that space wholeheartedly, right? A lot of times we get caught up in our story and we don't recognize the power behind it. And I love that you are like championing yourself, right? Screaming from the rooftops, this is what I have overcome. And even in that, you're recognizing, wow, like I have overcome more than I've given myself credit for, right? But that's the beauty. That's the beauty. I remember being told about Maslow's hierarchy and self-actualization when I was very young, and I never really understood it until I got to the other side of my own story. And then it was just like this aha moment. Like, now I get it. Like, we journey through a lot of things in life, but it's never really just about us, right? It allows us to anchor into our purpose. And in doing so, that's where we change lives. Like, I don't believe that any of us are here without the purpose to make an impact in some way or another. But a lot
Amen.
of us miss that because we get boggled down with our journey. We get boggled down with our story and our circumstances, not realizing that the true test is navigating what's been handed to us so that we can help others. And I truly believe that. Even if it's just one person, I used to have another podcast, and the way that I used to close the podcast was walk as if every step you take is about to create an avalanche because you're here to change the
Amen.
world. And I believe that for everyone, some of us have a very rough journey, but on the other side of that is so much beauty. And while there are instances and aspects of our lives that we may want to change, that journey is what created you, created me, created the power behind our walk. And even if we changed every aspect, I wouldn't change what made me me today. I would
Man.
never do it. Because I am so grateful for the woman that I became, despite the journey that I walked. And what I get from you is the absolute same.
Yeah, I agree. That's exactly how I feel, everyone. That's usually is the question that you ask me is what would change? Absolutely nothing. I would still go through everything that I went through. I would take every blow that I had to take because it led right where I needed to be. Me being stabbed 16 times is what led me to creating a formulation to help my hair grow to my waistline at 5 years. And also, not just for me, to help thousands of other women grow, be able to grow hair through scar tissue after chemotherapy, all kinds of different things. God did that through me. And had I not been a victim of or a survivor of that incident, I would have never even had the foresight or even the want to do something like that. So everything is never, there's no losses that I take. I only get lessons. And I'm just so grateful. People ask me all the time, are you, was you had, I'm glad he stabbed me because he sent me on a path that God called me for. Everything was meant and it was intentional. And there was nothing that was meant that happened by accident. I know that I probably wavered off on my own little path sometimes because a lot of times we don't trust it. And I think like, how are you going to do that? I don't even have money for that guy. What are you talking about? But he always makes a way. He always makes a
Always.
way. And so I
And it
just,
starts with surrender. You know what I mean?
absolutely, absolutely. And that's what I tell everybody. That's what, and people will try to tell me about it. And because when I was, especially when I was going through my illness and I was really almost on the edge of depression, because I just didn't understand. I didn't understand. I was like, God, why? You make me free for me to be locked into this prison of pain, of unhealth, of discord, of my biggest fear before anything was to be stuck in a hospital. And that's what I was. I was stuck in a hospital. So I had to experience all those things, but all of those, me experiencing all those things made it easier for me to be able to sit down and talk to a person to say that I'm broke and I don't know what else I'm gonna do because I didn't understand that before because of the Lulu mind that I had. I would do a lot of other things that other people would not be willing to do to make some money. So I'd never understood somebody else's excuse for being broke. But when the option for me to do all those things was taken from me, I really understood. And it humbled me in a way that I don't think anything else could have ever humbled me. So
I
gratitude.
listen, gratitude. I feel like God uses our biggest fear as an opportunity to allow us to journey back to ourselves. Because I went through something similar. One of my biggest fears was being homeless. And I ended up being homeless for 2.5 years, but I used that to travel. I ended up slow traveling through Europe with my family, right? And that journey awakened something in me that I never anticipated, but I'm forever grateful for that. And I always say that was a journey back to me in ways that I couldn't imagine because I was able to face my fears and recognize that I could overcome anything after that. A lot of people won't understand, but a lot of people will, right? And it's there's just so much beauty in being able to extrapolate the lessons for what they are rather than anchoring into it in a negative way, right? A lot of times we don't recognize that the things that we journey through are shaping us, forming us, and shaping us, right? Because we think that life is happening to us, but life is really happening for us if we can anchor into the lessons and actually learn them, right? I like saying, if at first you don't learn, life will teach you over and over again
Over and
until you
over.
get it.
And that's the truth because you'll keep going through the same cycle till you figure, you know what?
Let me pay attention this time
Let me
around,
figure out what
right?
he's trying to tell me because I don't want
Never again. Well, Christelle, I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. Tell us a bit more about how we can connect with you online.
You can find me anywhere under kgoody.collection on Instagram and on Facebook, kgoody designs on TikTok, on my website, kgoodycollection.com. That's double K. I also dropped the price on all of my products. We ship internationally. So anybody who wants to go on there, I also have copies of my e-books. Those are not refabricated. Everything has been written by me personally. That'll walk you through everything. I have the Make It Plain workbook, as well as the Blueprint to Retail. Each one will walk you out of imposter syndrome straight into your purpose. So whichever way you need to have it handled, it could be handled. But
Okay.
I am just so grateful for you allowing me into your space, Queen. I thank you for seeing me, and I appreciate you so much. Gratitude. You're out here doing the Lord's work, and you keep up doing what you're doing.
Thank you, sis. I appreciate it. And I'm so grateful that we were able to connect. So, before we wrap it all up, one key takeaway for the audience to action.
One key takeaway that I can always say is on the other side, you can finally breathe. And it's just that simple.
On the other side, you can finally breathe. Christelle, thank you so much for your time on Survival Mode Disrupted. Audience, thank you for catching another episode. And I just want to remind you, you were not built to break, but you damn sure were not built to just survive. Disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. And I will see you next week. Once again, thank you for joining another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted, hosted by the Survival Mode Disruptor, Letitia. You didn't land here by accident. This conversation, it probably cracked something open on purpose. Because survival mode isn't just a phase, it's a pattern, an identity, a prison masked as strength. But here's the truth: you're not broken, you're just unfinished. So if something stirred in you today, don't ignore it, don't numb it, move with it. And I want to once again invite you to join Disrupting Survival Mode, the Facebook community where healing is loud and messy and real. I also want to invite you to buy my book, The Survival Mode Exit Plan, because your breakthrough deserves a blueprint. And if you felt seen today, be sure to share this episode with someone who needs to hear it. Like, subscribe, and drop a review. That's how amplify the voices that need to be heard. And remember, this isn't about fixing yourself. This is about finding yourself again beneath the rubble. Until next time, choose ease, choose power, choose you. This is Survival Mode Disrupted. Let's keep shaking shit up.